podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the most consistent show on Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. You are listening to Saturday Draft Live. I hope you've all had a wonderful week and you've all had a very good time. And a man that's had a very good 3 weeks and he's been jetting off, travelling, doing something in Mexico. He's back on Saturday Draft Live to host his first episode of the season. Dave, welcome back to the fold. How was your holiday?
Hola amigo. Oh my god. Sorry, I was on Buzz Lightyear's Spanish mode, so, but yeah, nice to be back at a nice little getaway in Mexico. Just keeping tabs on the performance so far, but it's nice to be hosting an episode this season for a change, so, and Gary has done a wonderful job keeping Men on a Mission top of the table exactly where they should be.
Absolutely, we'll get into that table later on, but you know, we'll do our usual, you know, you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, wherever you get your podcasts. ESSR is absolutely on it. We are all over the shop. We've got our Twitter page, Suplex Retweet. We've got our Facebook page, our Facebook community group as well. We have our YouTube. We've got a TikTok. We've got an Instagram. We've got our website. On that website, you can find our full back catalogue. So check out everything you absolutely can to do our podcast, because if I do say so myself, pretty good. We are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the performers have been pretty good this week in the top three of the draft squad. One we've not seen in the top three so far, Dave, and one that's been a pretty good scorer from previous seasons, you'd say, but maybe not so much this season. Solo Sikoa with 10 points, obviously he's on the team of myself and Ryan O'Gleish, the pair of fannies. If we look at him, he's got 13 points overall, so he's sitting 15th. He was on Raw, he was on SmackDown, the one they were all over SmackDown last night, and then he got that win against Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty huge guess. It's quite a nice surprise he sold Solo in the top three, I think.
It's a good showing for Solo, yeah, given that, you know, he's more of like sitting in the background of the Bloodline, but you know what? As long as the Bloodline's around, he's probably going to be making consistent appearances, especially across both shows. And it's good to see him get a win on SmackDown as well, especially against, you know, the massively over Sami Zayn. So I think it just deepens the way the Bloodline story is going, but there still seems to be some cracks amongst the Bloodline again. But as long as Solo is getting a standout performance, you know, as you said, 13 points, he's on the verge of breaking into the top 10 of the season now. He could easily break out as a, well, no pun intended, Solo star, possibly after WrestleMania.
It could be a very good time after WrestleMania for him, but we'll wait and see what lies in store for Solo with regards to this season and how it plays after. But then your captain, Dave, sitting second this week, Cody Rhodes and 12 points. He's second overall as well with 28 points. Obviously, Asuka's plain sailing. She's way ahead in 62 points overall after the tremendous Elimination Chamber showing, but This week in itself, Dave, Cody, your captain, nearly caught up, got half your points. Was it beating Chad Gable, appearing on Raw and appearing on SmackDown? If you can keep up that kind of momentum, Cody, as your captain, and then getting into WrestleMania, where you think that he's probably going to win the title, you must feel quietly confident right now.
Yeah, this is exactly what we were hoping for when choosing, because we were obviously choosing second. It was either going to be Rhea Ripley or Cody Rhodes that was going to be our first choice. And I'm happy that we got Cody, given that I think he's been competing more than Rhea Ripley has. And he's been appearing across both shows. Then again, they've both been appearing across both shows. But for some reason, he just seems to be just nipping ahead of her in terms of appearance points alone. But I think we could put that down to him obviously being, you know, the purest babyface that they've got at the minute. And the crowd are massively into him. They're massively into his merch. He's making a lot of merch sales. So I think WWE would be foolish not to capitalize on the amount of appearances he's making. But he has been advertised for a couple of live events before WrestleMania. So I think it's good to see that he's getting consistent wins as well as having the captaincy applied on him. So yeah, we're very pleased with his showcasing thus far.
And the woman you just mentioned in your wee analysis there, Dave Rea, mm-hmm. she's got 14 points this week for David Campbell and Tom Brock. She's got 26 points overall, so she's sitting fourth. So she's got more than half her points this week. Mm-hmm. She was all over Raw, beat Liv yesterday on SmackDown. She appeared four times in SmackDown and got a win. So yeah, a lot of her points came from that. Rhea Ripley coming in. You think as well that she's probably going to beat Charlotte. If this keeps going, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Rhea's been a bit of a slow burner this season. You know, as you said, she's accumulated half her points this week alone. Because I think for the first few weeks, you know, she's mostly been around appearance points, you know, accompanying Dominic across both shows and obviously being one of the co-leaders of Judgment Day. But now that she's sort of getting back in the ring and picking up the wins again, plus the many appearances on SmackDown, I think it's been a very good week for Rhea. As long as she can keep this momentum going, you know, it should bring the Goats Incarnate, you know, some much needed points, given that they were, she was the number one draft pick overall.
I always think they've got Rhea's facing Charlotte and Charles in their team. Charles only got 2 points for the season. For a women's champion in WWE, that's quite a low amount of points, but obviously we'll wait and see how that turns out. I think there's only 28 points separating first and last, so it's, obviously when you're seeing it, you on the table, you think that's not that close, but the scheme of points and how a pay-per-view can go, It's still pretty tight. Not that I'm saying that, just because myself and Ryan, the pair of fannies, are bottom on 62 points.
Well, you're joint bottom, actually. Don't put yourself down like that. You're joint bottom.
But I guess because Grant and Kwaku, Alba Gugraps 2.0, they've got 62 points as well. Their captain's got more points than our captain. We really should have been our captain, say, Paul Heyman. We'd be 14 points ahead. We'd be in fourth right now, I think, if we had Paul Heyman, or even third. But, you know,
you'd be joint third if you had the captaincy on Paul Heyman.
Lessons learned and all that. Lessons learned. I should have known if I had Paul Heyman on my team before, and I know how good a points getter he can be, but that's by the by. Above us two, Goat and Tom Brock with the Goats Incarnate and 65 points. No, pardon me. And then you've got the Transatlantic Heartbreakers with Ryan Gallagher and Chris Lopez and 73 points. Serenity now. Third place, 76 points of Scott McLeod and Ross McLeod. Then a 10-point gap to Andy and Steven in the morning, and 86 points. And then yourself, Dave, and Gary, Men in a Mission 2.0, 90 points. Replicate the form of last tag season. Can you go all the way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our captain is saving our bacon this week. We were in second place for a couple of weeks there, but now we've bounced back to number one, and hopefully will be the first team in ESSR draft history to win the tag team season back to back. And I tell you what, it would be a nice way to secure my third draft win. In that, two tag team wins, Gary can get his second tag team win 2 years in a row. It's looking promising, just as long as we keep the Cody momentum going. Dom gets plenty of exposure in the Rey Mysterio feud, and hopefully the Bucks can retain the Trios titles at Revolution. That would be a huge, huge gain for us.
No, it's bad. This
What's
week,
that?
Me and Ryan are the top scorers this week with 28 points overall. And we're still bottom.
Oh, it sucks to be you.
That's heartbreaking. That's absolutely heartbreaking. But Dave, you're back. You've got your baby back. Tell us about the listeners and what's happening. You'll get your first look.
Ribs.
And you'll get your first look at the Listeners League Cup as well. So
yes,
take away, tell us what's happening in the league and the cup.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen some very, very good team names here, just to sort of run through a few of them here. In Zayn and the Membrane, Dan Wood, who's currently at the bottom of the table. That was a, I like that one. David Collins, Shane O'Mac and Cheese. That's a, that got me laughing. We also have, once again, Robert fucking Shaw and the Draft Bastards is back again. Great to see. John Sly, just outside of the top five. We have, Judgment Day One-ish. Again, you know, great. Some very creative team names, I must admit, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the top five. We have fifth place. We have Jonathan Napier with Flex Fridman on 104 points. And then I've just clocked it. There's a very, very close contest between fifth and second, only with first, you know, getting a slight lead ahead. So yeah, Jonathan Napier, Flex Fridman, 104 points. Then joint, fourth, we have, joint third, I should say, excuse me. Anthony Fitzpatrick with Dan Gurr was a failed lab experiment, and Ross McClucky on Los Ingobernares de Jamón on 105 points. Gary Morris in second place, 108 points, our recurring listeners league performer with Banger Brothers and Sisters. Absolutely brilliant. And top of the table is Ross Brady with probably my favorite team name of this whole season so far. And also just because I'm a fan of this show, the Big Banger Brothers Theory, 116 points overall. So Gary Morris has been doing well with Rhea Ripley as his captain, but Asuka in the Elimination Chamber is what's kept him in the top table here, particular. Yeah, but Rhea Ripley in particular has been the most popular selection for the Listeners League performers, with surprisingly McIntyre and Sheamus as a tag team being the second most popular, which I thought was quite quite interesting at first. But Gary's obviously picked them up as his tag team, as well as Rhea Ripley as his captain. But there seems to be some dissension among the ranks now that we're pursuing towards the Intercontinental Championship scene for WrestleMania. They're going up against each other in a fatal five-way next week. So has that tag team lost its flair a little bit? Possibly, but we'll see how it goes from the on the next month or so. But the new entry, and this is the first time I'm getting a look at this, the Listeners League Cup, split into four brackets. We have the Luis Dangour bracket, we have the Brit Rest bracket, the Old Firm bracket, and of course the Ugly Bossack bracket. It's quite, you know what I thought was quite weird is that Ross Brady, even though he's at the top of the table of the Listeners League traditional format, he actually got knocked out in the first round of the cup by Paddy, who then got knocked out in the second round. So it just goes to show, you know, this new Listeners League concept is, I'm actually liking it, I must say. But we have our semi-final set up for the Listeners League Cup. So Matt Smith defeating Ross McClucky, 23-21. We have Mike Angus cleanly beating David Collins, 25-11. They will face each other in the first semi-final bracket. And for the Old Firm bracket, the winner of the Old Firm bracket, we have Jonathan Napier absolutely wiping out Elora May, 29-4. He wins that particular bracket, and he's going to be facing the winner of the Ugly Bossack bracket, Tam McKay, who beat former winner JP, 33-18. They will face each other in the second bracket, and the winner of each of these two matches will face each other in the final, with the winner joining the main league next season. If they also win the Listeners League, they will draft from first position. So lots to go down here, but the finals won't take place until, sorry, the semi-final match will take place in 2 weeks' time, with the final taking place on WrestleMania Sunday. I'm liking this, Jack. I don't know how you guys have been covering it so far, but I really like this concept, if I'm being honest.
It's good. It's a nice wee competitive, another competitive aspect for us. Like, I really like it. Also, if we have a quick look, so it's Mike Angus is going up against
Matt Smith
and Jonathan Napier going
former
up
former winner Matt Smith, I should say.
Yeah. And I don't know, obviously Ross must feel a bit unlucky. Wasn't out. If he kept going and he won that, he would have had a good chance of drafting from first in both positions. But Jonathan Napier has that chance though. It's close. It could work very true. Well, for a lot of folk.
He's 12 points from the number one position currently in fifth with Flex Fridman. I think he's probably in the best position to not only win the cup but also draft from first.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things can happen, Dave. A lot of things can happen here. But something that is happening this weekend, though, We have a pay-per-view this weekend. We have the AEW pay-per-view. It's AEW Revolution. And not some of our drafting competitors in this season have drafted AEW superstars. We'll break down what we've got so far. So the main event, 60-minute Iron Man match for the AEW World Championship. MGF of the Goats Incarnate will be going up against Grant and Quackers, Brian Danielson. Now, obviously, you'll expect both to get falls here, Dave, at some point. I don't know how many falls each will get in this match. But I do expect MGF to come out on top, and that will be a good point to get for Goat and Tom Brock to claw away from the bottom of the table, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They need some big points here. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe every fall they get in the Ironman match counts as a win, right? But whoever wins the match altogether, that counts as the title win.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
So, yeah, I think I'm predicting it's going to be, I mean, we've seen, you know, Danielson and Omega go a full 60 minutes without scoring any falls. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was one all or two all for the full 60 minutes with someone sneaking in a 3-2 win at the last minute. So I'm not expecting massive points being scored like, you know, Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar in 2003. But I reckon as long as the story's being told, that I think the best way I can see this happening is MJF gets a sneaky, possibly 2-1 or 3-2 win in this instance. You know, treat it like a rubber match series in the space of 1 hour.
Yeah. I can see it. There'll be, like you said, one all or two all, and then it'll be in the last wee bit. MJF will get a sneaky win with Dynamite Ring or something like that, you know, something like that.
It's worth noting as well, MJF was the Goats Incarnate last round pick, and he was the final pick of the season. So, and he's not got the captaincy applied. So even if he does get wins and a title win, I mean, it'll be good points, don't get me wrong. But it's not as much as I think they would have liked. And given their position on the table, it might at best bump them up to maybe third, maybe even second at a push. But it all depends on how many falls take place in the match.
I think whatever points they'll get, I think they'll be pretty happy. I think it'll set them up in good stead for the final running of the season. But we'll wait and see. Obviously, Grant and Cracker, they'll be hoping for a couple of falls for Brian Danielson to at least negate some potential point losses, I'd say. So that's something. At least we do have a three-way match for the AEW Women's World Championship. Scott, we've got Jamie Hayter against Saraya versus Ruby Soho and Scott and Ross. Jamie Hayter, you can see this as a retention here, I think.
I don't know. I mean, Saraya and Tony Storm have been sort of being a bit heelish as of late, I think. And Jamie Hayter's getting over with the crowd, am I right in saying?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Saraya won this and we have another heel women's champion reign going on. I'm leaning more towards a Saraya win here.
Very interesting. Obviously, we do have... Obviously, we're just breaking down the matches that our drafting participants in, because we'll have Central that will kind of go through all the matches. But we do have a four-way tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship, Dave. And the Transatlantic Heartbreakers have the Acclaimed and a last-minute addition of Orange Cassidy in this match. I don't know what your thoughts is, but Jim, the Acclaimed can get the title back, or can Orange Cassidy and Danhausen win it?
Ooh, I don't know. I think it's too soon for the Guns to lose it at this point. I reckon the Acclaimed will be on the verge of winning again, but maybe the Guns end up pinning Danhausen or something. I think Orange Cassidy and Danhausen, it is a bit random to sort of add them in last minute, and I think Danhausen might just be there to take the fall because, I mean, Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, at least they've been regularly competing on AEW as of late. But I think it would be very, very weird to see them as AEW tag champions. But no, if I'm being honest, I think Danhausen's been thrown in just so that they've got someone to take the fall. And I think the Guns, it's too early for them to drop it. I think they need to keep their momentum going. The Acclaimed will be fine. They've got the audience behind them.
I mean, the final match concerning our draft, Dave, yourself and Gary have the Young Bucks, Grant and Clark, who have Kenny Omega, and you're defending the World Trios Championship against the House of Black, Malachi Black, Brody King and Buddy Matthews. Do you see our attention?
I mean, I certainly hope so, because we could do with all the points we can get. But honestly, I'm split on this. I mean, given how the House of Black's been booked since coming back, I think this one could go either way. But just because I'm being biased towards my own team here, I'm going to just be cheering for an Elite win here.
Oh, there we go. I think there's a... obviously, there's a grand cracker we hope for that, because it'll help them pull away from us. I think we'll see... me and Ryan managed to call back some sort of gap, but I think we'll be firmly rooted to the bottom after tonight for a wee bit.
Grant Kwaku could certainly do with a points booster, and obviously me and Gary need it to maintain our lead. So I guess all we can do is really just hope, and because that out of all the matches on the card, this is the one I'm most split on. Like, this one could literally go either way.
Aye, so the pair of fannies and Andy and Stephen Morton have no competitors on tonight, so we won't see their points tally, unless Darby Allin makes an appearance for them. I'm not sure, but we'll wait and see. But that's all the time we've got for the day, Dave, on Saturday Draft Live. I hope you enjoyed being back. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah, I have. I need to make up for lost time, you know, maybe do the next few weeks, and hopefully I don't switch back to Spanish mode. But I'm really liking this season so far. We've got a close contest both in the main league and the Listeners League, and we've got to certainly keep a close eye on the Listeners League Cup as well.
Well, excellent. I hope you have all had a good time. Hope you all enjoy AEW Revolution this weekend. And yeah, we'll be back next weekend. We'll be breaking down the scores after that, and we'll be firmly on our way to WrestleMania. So we'll see you then. Have a good one. Bye bye.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Scott McLeod.
And I'm Grant McGrobby.
We are the hosts of the monthly show on Eat Meets Suplex, Retreat East Meets West,
where we'll bring you all the latest happenings, reviews and big events from New Japan and the land of the Far East.
You can remember to check that out on the Eat Meets Suplex, Retreat podcast feed on all good Android podcasting sites like Anchor, Spotify or iTunes now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.